All right, at this time, I'd like to introduce you to our second speaker, Emma G. from Montgomery County, Maryland.
Hi, family, I'm Emma. I'm an addict. I need to apologize for the state of my voice today. I don't know about any of you, but I'm stubborn. Are any of you stubborn? Right? So I knew I was getting sick. But I have some auditions coming up. I'm an opera singer. And so I didn't want to cancel my voice lesson yesterday because I'm headstrong and I want to muscle through some shit. You know what I mean? I've always wanted, like, you can do it. Even when I know I gotta, like, chill out and not do it. So I go to my voice teacher yesterday, knowing it was a bad idea, right? And 2 hours later, I was left with this, right? Because I'm stubborn. And still, I let my self-will dictate a lot of my choices. You know, after being here for a little bit of time, my self-will dictates a lot of my choices. It just is what it is. But the good news is, right, it dictates a lot less of my choices, and my consequences today are a lot less severe. I haven't been in the fetal position crying clean in a little bit of time. Not saying it won't happen to me again, because I know it will. But I've done some things since I've been here, right? You know, I was listening to Vincent Nazim share, right? And I was thinking about how my first sponsor told me, she said, baby, pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. But here's the thing, right? I was so miserable when I got here. I didn't know how to make the choice not to be miserable for some years. I'm not miserable today. I don't know, some of you guys know me in here. I'm a little cerebral, right? That means I overthink some shit, right? I like to dress some stuff up with some SAT words, but the reality is I overthink some shit, right? So I was thinking about welcome to NA, right? Welcome to NA, what does that even mean? You know what I mean? But, like, the reality is, if you come into meetings, they tell you to do some things. There's even a chapter in our basic text. It's chapter 5. It says, what can I do? Yeah. And it lists those beautiful things called tools. So I'm not going to list them for you, because I know you guys all got a book and you can read them. Right? Although, to tell you the truth, when I first got clean, my brain was so fried, my sponsor would tell me to read, more will be revealed, and I would sit there with the book in my hand, looking at the same paragraph over and over again, because I didn't know what it was saying, and I kept trying to read the words, and it didn't make any sense. But in addition to those tools, right, when we come into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, we can do those tools, but how do we really get welcomed? We gotta listen to the things between the lines. I was thinking of what were the things that I listened to when I got here, besides the usual ones, the tools that we know, sponsor, meetings, network, blah, blah, blah. What did I do? They told me to sit down and shut the fuck up, so that's what I did. Look, they didn't really say, they just said, we used to say that, so I knew it was implied. And I'll tell you what, if you listen close enough, it is still implied. We've just gotten a little nicer because we realize I've realized, you know, that tough love isn't always the best strategy. But there's a difference between tough love and honesty, right? And really, like for me, I didn't know how to live when I got here. So if someone wanted to be tough on my ass, that was fine. Because I needed a lot of help. You know? They also told me another thing that I tell all my sponsees. You can do whatever you want, just don't use. You know, I didn't come from one of those areas where they said, don't get into a relationship. They said, get into a relationship. Just be prepared to deal with the consequences. You can do anything you want in here, just don't use, but be prepared to deal with the consequences. And if you do get into a relationship, realize that's a growth opportunity. They call those growth opportunities. So for those of you that know my story, I've had some growth opportunities up in here. You know, I love Narcotics Anonymous. I love it. And I never thought I'd be one of those addicts that was grateful and loved Narcotics Anonymous, because I struggled with gratitude for some years. I knew I had to get grateful because you guys told me to get grateful, but I was not grateful. So I kept dragging myself to meetings, crying, miserable. I don't see the way out. I feel hopeless. I'm not using, but I'm still killing myself. And then one day I got grateful. You know what I mean? Because they say if you keep coming back and you don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle, hang on, it's going to get better.
That's right.
You know, on our white tea tag, they used to present it in Tampa. They used to say, on the front, it tells you welcome because you are. And on the back, it says just for today, because that's how we work this program. And, you know, I've been really meditating coming into this workshop about what it means to feel welcome and what it means to be welcoming, right? Because growing up, I never felt welcome. Was that just my perception of reality? I don't know. But I never felt right. I was a shapeshifter. I was a chameleon. I could kind of fit in with people. I used to dress the part. I'm an actress. I'd get the costume of the punk rock kids who went to the shows at Corner Kick. And one year, we all got, I was thinking about this the other day, we all wore Lucky Charms, came out with a little watch that year. And all the punk rock kids had the watch from the Lucky Charms. But you have to understand, I was raised in a Jewish household where we kept kosher, so we weren't allowed to have Lucky Charms. So how did I get the watch? You know what I'm saying? I was a dope fiend way before I even picked up, right? But when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I felt home. I felt welcomed. You understand what I mean? I remember my first meeting. I was there, I was high. The treatment van took me to a meeting. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know anything about Narcotics Anonymous, except for an old boyfriend said he was going to pick up his 24-hour key tag, and I was so proud of him because he was real messed up, you know what I mean? I was like, go ahead, baby. I'm going to go out with my girlfriends. I'll call you later. But I didn't know what we were doing here. Until I got to my first meeting, the treatment center I was at took us to a women's meeting. And I don't remember much, but I remember they talked about boys. And I said, okay, welcome to NA, I'm in your home. Because all I knew about when I got clean was boys and using. Or using and boys, it didn't matter. But you know what I mean? It was a mess. It was all tangled up, right? But then the people in the treatment said, Emma, go pick up a white key tag. I was like, what's that? And people hugged me. And this woman named Monica, I'll never forget her, she gave me her number on a slip of paper. And she welcomed me, right? And I called her the next day because you guys told me to use the phone. And I called her. And what is that when you get clean and you forgot all your social skills, right? We don't know how to live. I call her up. I go, hi, Monica, you gave me your number last night. I have no idea what to say. Because I didn't know what to say. You took the drugs away from me? I didn't know how to function. But you guys welcomed me and showed me the way. A little while later, after the meetings, you guys welcomed me. You said, what are you doing after the meeting? We're going to go play cards. Because we didn't have any money. So it was like, who's going to buy the 12-pack of Mountain Dew tonight? And we would stay up late, playing cards, smoking cigarettes, drinking Mountain Dew, and carrying on. And it was the first time in a long time I felt like I had real friends, right? And at some point, they told me, Emma, you know what? Now it's time for you to be welcoming. And I'm going to get emotional because I remember I had like 15, 16 months clean, and my sponsor at the time pointed to a young lady in the meeting and she said, throw that girl in your back pocket. And for some reason, it was a suggestion. And this young lady's become one of the best friends I've ever had in my entire life. You know what I mean? Because I was willing to put myself out there and be welcoming. I received gifts. I was willing to open my heart up. I got the gifts. Because my whole life was always about me, 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 me. And then I came to Narcotics Anonymous and you taught me how to be for somebody else. Unconditionally, with no strings attached, because you know we all have strings when we get here. But I learned how to have no strings and to love people unconditionally, because I've always wanted to be loved unconditionally. You know, they put out this book a couple of years ago called Living Clean. It's a good book. Don't read it if you haven't read the other books. It's like a sequel, you know what I mean? But I was reading it last night, right? And like I always thought I had trust issues, right? But I trusted a sponsor real quick. I trusted you guys real quick. Why? Because for some reason, since the day I got clean, I haven't found it necessary to use since. So did I have trust issues? It says in the Living Clean book, we always thought we had trust issues, came to find out we have courage issues. Right? I trusted people, but I could not get vulnerable. And there are people in this room that have watched that transformation happen in my life today, because I could hug you and love you, say hi, ask you how you're doing. But for a while when I was here, Emma, how are you doing? I'm fine. I'm okay. And slowly, as I started to like become desperate, not just to stop using, but that desperation to find a new way to live, which happened to me after I'd been here for some years, and I started to apply principles in my life, I had to become vulnerable. I had to become courageous, because that was the missing piece. I had only gotten so much up until that point, but I had to be willing to trust people. Not just like do what they say, but trust them with my truth. Trust them with like things that I never thought, like, you know, I hear in rooms like, you know, if I told them the truth, they wouldn't love me. But the reality is when I got here, I didn't even know how to even name my truth. It wasn't even about other people. I just literally had no experience getting vulnerable with anybody. Even like as a young girl, my friends, I'd always have these really damaged friends and I'd help them. You know what I mean? And come to find out they knew nothing about me, like ever, because I didn't know how to be courageous. And so I've started becoming courageous on little things. Like I go to my home group and I say things like, I'm ashamed to talk about this, but I got clean a little girl and I still don't know how to pay bills. Right? Like, I'm ashamed to tell you this, but I'm driving around on dead tags with 8 years clean. because I'm unmanageable and didn't pay this and didn't pay this. And so I had this home group member, every day he'd see me at a meeting, he's like, how'd you get here? On your dead tags? Right? And eventually, I sorted it up so he would leave me alone. Right? Because I have guilt and shame, and I've always wanted to be like eager to please. Like I was a really nerdy A+ student in school, and like I asked good questions, and so like I want to be good at Narcotics Anonymous. But like the reality is, there isn't A+ Narcotics Anonymous. We just do this thing one day at a time to the best of our ability. And I'm here to say that some days, my best ability is just not that good, right? Some days, the best of my ability is just not using. Some days, the best of my ability is really awesome. But some days, it's just not using. You know, I've been thinking about the welcoming spirit of Narcotics Anonymous. And I've had the fortune of traveling in my recovery. I was in Austria studying in a music conservatory one summer. And there was one NA meeting a week on Tuesdays. It was only in German. But I didn't care. I went. They hugged me. They embraced me. They asked me to do H&I with them because I was a fresh face and I was young. So they took me to H&I and they brought a translator with me because no one there spoke English. And I remember I happened to be there the day that meeting got their opening readings from Berlin. And they said, Emma, what is the order of the readings? And I said, well, you know, I'm no authority on the order of the opening readings. But this is how we do it at home. And then they ordered it, and then they said, here, you read this one. And my German was just good enough in reading that I read, Who is an Addict auf Deutsch? And it was amazing. It was amazing, you know? Because when you're in a meeting, it does help to understand the language. I'm not going to pretend that you can go into a meeting and you don't understand the language, and that doesn't matter, because it matters. But you can still feel the love. I was in Brazil. I don't really want to tell this story, but I really want to tell this story because it's funny. I was in Brazil a couple summers later, and we were like worked to the bone. We had 14-hour days, and like where we were wasn't like entirely safe, and I wasn't really with people where I could break my anonymity and say, excuse me, hair director, can I go to a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous? But one night, I had a night off, and there happened to be a meeting right near where I was staying. So I walked there, even though women were not supposed to walk alone in this part of Brazil, whatever that means. I was like, I'm an addict, I'm going to do what I want. You know what I mean? Because we never, using or otherwise, we don't care if a situation is dangerous, we're doing it. We're like, oh, that rule doesn't apply to me. And we justify and rationalize, right? Like, oh, but when I go walking in the streets to go to the stage, people ask me questions in Portuguese. That must mean they think I look Brazilian. So I go to this meeting, and nobody there spoke a word of English. And I had no idea what anybody was saying. You know what I mean? They were like amazed that I was there, though. My Portuguese was even worse than my German, so I had no idea. But I was just happy to be there, happy to be in the environment of Narcotics Anonymous. Because sometimes with my career, there will be a couple stretches of some weeks where I can't get to a meeting. And when you finally get to that meeting, you want to go so badly because you missed it so much. But it's like, ah, I have no idea what anyone's saying. I'm trying to decipher from their facial expressions. Oh, okay, I recognize that word. I think he's mad at his kid. I'm not really sure. Welcome to Narcotics. But, you know, I've also moved around a lot in the continent of the United States. I moved from Florida to D.C., where I found my home in Narcotics Anonymous. But then I also pursued a graduate degree in Philadelphia, so I spent 2 years in Philly. And it was really hard at the beginning. I was really lonely. Now, there are some ladies that were welcoming to me at the beginning, but I was like, I don't even know if I wanted to be welcomed initially. I was like, I got a home group. Because they'd ask you, who's your home group? Who's your sponsor? And I was like, I got a home group. It's Progress in NA in Silver Spring, Maryland. And they're like, Emma, that is nowhere near here. What's your home group in Philadelphia? I was like, I don't need a home group in Philadelphia. I've got the best home group in the world. Which I do, by the way. Which I do. But, you know, it was really hard for me. I was like, I got a network at home. Why do I need a network here? I've got a lot of friends. And some of that was just scared to be courageous and open up to new people. And I can't talk about being welcomed without talking about my dear friend. I lived in South Philly. And one night I decided to go to a meeting on the other side of Broad Street. And it was 20th and Tasker. And it's great. And I went to the meeting. It was a celebration of a friend of ours. I looked around the room and nobody looked like me. If you don't know what I'm saying, you can ask me afterwards. But nobody looked like me at this meeting. And I sat behind these guys. I didn't know where they were. And then at one point in the meeting, this guy swishes his head around and he says, "Hey, baby, who are you?" Victor. Victor. And he welcomed me. He said, "Baby, what's your number? I'm going to call you tomorrow." And we became best friends. You know, Victor had a really serious illness and he just passed away. And I was sitting at his funeral listening to people talk about how he embodied the spirit of welcoming and the spirit of love in Narcotics Anonymous. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to say at my workshop at the Ocean City, but I know I got to talk about Victor at one point, because Victor showed me love. I was the token white girl of the group, right? And he showed me love. And he said, "You know, most white girls can't hang with us, but you can hang." It's true. It's true. Isn't that like him? And, you know, he welcomed me to his family. His family of friends in Narcotics Anonymous. And through that relationship, I went to Christmas parties, birthday parties, cookouts, everything. Because I was willing to put myself out there and be courageous. I'm going to wrap it up and say that welcome in Narcotics Anonymous is a two-way street. You can't expect people to welcome you unless you're open to being welcomed. And so today, I allow myself to be welcomed and to be welcoming. Thanks for letting me share.